John with me. As you can see our title tonight, Christ, Eternal Life. We're going to be in the book of St. John chapter 1. You know, with so much, D's come back in. Close that door, D, if you come in. Thank you. I think the more we see the world the way it is and the more things just become the way they are, I think we begin to think more, or I do, of what's eternal, of what's important, of what goes on after this. You know, I think the older you get, you think about that too, because you see things come and go, and you know, all of your accomplishments as you get older, it's like King Solomon looked back and says, you know, all that I've built, all my vineyards, all of my gardens, all the trees I planted, all my buildings I built, it's all vanity. I mean, what's going to happen when I leave the earth? It's going to remain, but I'm not going to be here to even enjoy it. So what does it even matter? He began to think about eternity and what really did matter. And I love John 1. To me, it's my favorite gospel of the four gospels that I like reading is John. When people first get saved, a lot of times they'll say, Pastor, what's a good book I can start on reading? I say, read John. That's what I always tell them. Start in John. Read John. John gives such a great, account of the life of Jesus, of what he came to do, of who he is, of what our life in him is like. And so if you have somebody that just got saved and needs some direction, have them read John. That will, I think, open their eyes to a lot of things of the life of Jesus. We're going to start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible is talking here about the Word being Christ, being Jesus. He was the Word, he was and is God. And the beginning actually translates to before the beginning, because he's always been. Now, we're not going to get into that kind of message because it's too much for us to wrap our minds around. But we have to trust God's Word, that he has always been. And in the beginning, or before the beginning, the Word was there. Before the beginning, Christ was there. See, Christ has always been. He was manifest 2,000 years ago in the form of man to bear our sins, but he's always been. He is God, and he's always been. The Word's always been there. I love, if you parallel John 1 with Genesis 1, it's very similar. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then here we see in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So we can't separate that. God is the Word. God, Jesus is God. He was fully man so he could bear our sins, but he was fully God because he had to be without sin, not come from man in order to be the Redeemer. So the Word's always been from the very beginning. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things we see. It amazes me how we have a people that still deny there's a master creator in all that they see. When we look at the beauty of our creation, we look at the beauty of human life, animal life, the mountains and the seas, and the stars and the moon and the sun, the trees, the deserts and the rainforests, and all that our eyes see, God made that. God made that. There are some beautiful places on this earth that most of our eyes won't see. We have a few destinations we'll go to. If some of us go past Boone, we've had a trip. So a lot of us just won't go a real far away. I know Marjorie went out west over the summer and visited. How many states did you hit? 9 different states, went out west, did a tour, saw a lot of our beautiful western central part of the country. And it's amazing how different parts have different beauty and how God created that beauty. Nothing was made that wasn't made by God. Everything we see, there's a creator. It didn't just happen. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't just something that happened because something stirred something. It was all a divine appointment from God. In him, verse 4, in him, in Christ, was life. John used the word life 36 times in this gospel. He uses it, another 17 times in Revelations, and he uses it 13 times in 1 John. So John was all about life. Life. And he wasn't talking about the life that we're living here. He was talking about a higher degree of life, a deeper life, a real life. Because all this passes away. All of our accomplishments, all this stuff, it passes away. In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. The life of Christ, what he represented, who he was, would become the light that would lead all of us out of our darkness. It was the revelation that would awaken and come alive, pointing us to truth and to grace that we couldn't find any other way. His life was that important. In him was that life that passes this earthly 60, 80 years we live. It was a life, John was talking about, that you don't have to taste death. A life that surpasses the natural realm. A life that disease and sickness can't stop. A life that poverty can't stop. A life that whatever situation comes can't stop. This life surpasses that life. This life overcomes that life. This life has the victory over this life. There is nothing that can stop the life of Christ going forward inside of us. Nothing this earth can give us can stop that. That's the life John's talking about. And that's the life that matters. The Bible says that we are like a vapor in the wind. We're like grass. We're here today and gone tomorrow. We're just a vapor. We're, church, in the scheme of eternity, we're a blip on a screen. You watch them old Navy movies, them old submarines, you know, and they are underwater, and you hear that boop, 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 and they got that radar screen. And it's like the old-time video games back in my day. You see a dot, and you know there's a ship somewhere near, and that dot begins to flash, and that dot goes across your screen, and it's gone. It's kind of our life. We're here for such a short time, but yet we invest so much in this life instead of laying our treasures up, as Jesus says, to heaven. That's where the real life is. The real life. See, Steve's attained the real life. We're just kind of passing through to get there. We're on our journey, but he's arrived. He's obtained a life that we believe in, a life that we talk about, a life that we read about, the life that Jesus came to give. And that life of Christ would be what lights up humanity's understanding to realize, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. What light does, church, it illuminates where darkness was. It illuminates that which we can't see, but now we can see it. And Christ came to tell us that in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what he came to do. That's the light that lights humanity. To say, is there something better? Yes. Deeper? Yes. Greater? Yes. More? Yes. It's in him and only in him. And John was going to be the bearer of that light. Verse 5, this is a powerful verse. I've preached on it many times through the years. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When you look up the word comprehend, it kind of is misleading in the way it's written. Because we tend to think of comprehend as don't understand. But what it really means is that darkness couldn't stop what the light came to do. That's powerful. That darkness couldn't stop the light of Jesus into the world. The devil tried all he could. He was a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And here comes Jesus, who should have been killed as an infant because of the decree by the king. But he wasn't. Mary and Joseph escaped and saved Jesus in Mary's womb. So he wasn't destroyed there. Then they finally get him on the cross. Think they got destroyed there. But 3 days later, something happens. He rises from the grave and ascends back into heaven and forevermore pours himself into us, showing us that life has power over death. And the devil couldn't do nothing. How does that mean for us today? It means this. Whatever battle you're going through, whether it's sickness, disease, physical problem, emotional problem, financial problem, relationship problem, whatever you're battling, whatever you're facing, it cannot be overcome. The light is stronger than what you're battling. It is stronger than what you're going through. It is greater. It is bigger. And the devil can't do anything to stop the progress of what God has begun in you. It will come to fruition. You've won the battle. You've won the victory. It is done. Period. And that's what the devil couldn't stop. Man, he tried. And even now he tries to stop us, don't he? He tries to stop us from going to church. He tries to stop us from praying, from reading, from serving him, from trusting him, from following him. He tries his best to do those things because problem after problem comes from left and from right. All around us we're surrounded. We think that there's no escape and there's no way out. But realize if you are his child, that light of God is in you now and forevermore. And it didn't stop it then, and it can't stop it now, and it won't stop it tomorrow, because the light is greater than the darkness. And the devil is mad, so he attacks us to discourage us. But remind yourself, this is a done deal. The tomb is empty forevermore, and he is on the throne forevermore. He is my God forevermore. More than my situation, more than my battle, more than my problem. He is greater. Greater is he that's in me than that which is in the world. That's what my God is. And so when that darkness tried to swallow it up, it couldn't. Just like it couldn't swallow Moses up. When they had a decree to destroy Moses, and his mother by faith hid Moses, put him in a river and cast him away to save his life. And God raised that seed up to become the deliverer of the people. Type and shadow of Christ becoming the one that the king would try to slay, but was sealed by the hand of God to preserve that seed until the appointed time to redeem us. God's plan was not going to be altered. God's plan was not going to be canceled out. And I want to tell you this. God's plan in your life is not going to be canceled out either. We're going to go through some dark, bad days, but God is still God, and he is faithful, and he is able to do that which he promised in your life. Cling to the long, stretched arm of God and hang on to that, for he is greater. I love that verse 5. That's a powerful verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, talking about Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's talk about this verse a minute. This light gives light to every man that comes into the world. This is not saying that we are automatically saved. What it is saying is that light is we're given an opportunity, each one has an opportunity to see, to hear, to receive this light of the gospel. He made a way for every man, every race, every creed, every culture, every language, every nation. That light has been made available. Jesus, the life of Jesus, was enough to introduce truth to the whole world. Many don't use that light. Many reject that light. Many rebel from that light. I mean, I want you to think about it naturally. If you're in a room tonight and it's dark, and you choose to try to get through your bedroom in the dark, and you trip on something or hit something, I mean, that's your fault, right? You can't see. But when you flip that light on, all of a sudden it illuminates it, and you can see clearly. People don't choose to receive the light. They reject the light. They push away the light. The Bible talks about that when, in Romans 1, that when they had the knowledge of God, they didn't retain that knowledge. And they turned to their own lust and their own sin, and God gave a reprobate mind. That light is made available. The thing is, it's an even playing field. People say, well, I wasn't raised. Look, a lot of us wasn't maybe raised the right way, or wasn't raised maybe to know about Jesus, or maybe wasn't raised in a church going home. But every one of us see that same sun every day. We see the same moon, the same stars. If you go to Boone or Asheville, we're going to see the same mountains. There ain't been no new mountains for them since I've been born. They've been there. We're going to see the same mountains. We're going to see the same ocean. I've been in the Atlantic Ocean 100 times in my life. And guess what? It's still there. Different waves, of course. But still, we're seeing the same ocean. We are seeing, our eyes are beholding the same creative work of God. And that's what the Bible says in Romans, that the creation itself teaches man that there's a God. It goes on to say there is no excuse because of that. How much more could God have done to prove there's a God? Really think about that. I mean, how much more could he have done than the creation of nature and life and breath and how a human baby is formed? That makes no sense. Try to get that formula by yourself created. I mean, think about the two components to conceive a child, and that those two components make a human, breathing, living soul. That's amazing. That when my three children were born at 9 pounds, 10 pounds, 7 pounds, as those three kids come from their mother's womb, that they had arms and fingers and legs and toes and eyes and ears and, you know, hair and belly button and I mean that they were a human being. I mean, they were a full grown, so to speak, human being, all put together by the hand of God. Well, guess what? In Jamaica or China or India or Germany or France, I'm just thinking, don't kind of happen the same way? Take the same two components. And human life is human life. The skin color may be different, but the form is the same. Hands, feet, eyes, ears. It's a beautiful thing. All across the world, there are signs pointing that there is a God. And that light of the gospel has been made available to every single person from every background, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Islamic, whether they're Buddhist, whether they're atheist, whatever they are, that light's been made available to introduce them to, hello, I am God. And this is what I have done for you. It's an even playing field. See, I could go anywhere in the world and preach the gospel message, and it would be the same. I'd have a translator, of course, but it would be the same. If I went to China and had a translator, I would preach this. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And I'd be translating. He died, he rose for your sins. It is not by your works you are saved, it's by the grace of Jesus that paid the price for your sin. I'm telling you something, that message, if ears were open to hear it, would run to that and hear that and respond to that, because the Holy Spirit has no respect of persons. The light would go off in whatever country and they would cry out in their language, yes, I want this Jesus you're talking about. It's even playing field, but people reject it, and they refuse it for whatever reason, many reasons. Verse 10. Oh, we got a mantra over here. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That could so be relevant right now, could it not? The world was made by him, but they don't know him. They don't know God. They don't know who he is. They don't have a relationship with him. Even though the air they're breathing, God gave it to them. Their heart's beating, God gave it to them. The blood that's flowing through 60,000 miles worth of veins and vessels, God gave you those. The eyes you're seeing with, God gave them that. The sun that tans them in the summer to a wrinkled prune, and the snow that falls in the winter that they snowmobile on, God made it. God. Everything that we experience is from God. Everything that we have comes from God, but yet they don't even know the Creator. But yet I guarantee you everybody knows who made Apple. Ooh, yeah. Everybody knows Steve Jobs, or didn't know, you know, before he passed away. Everybody knew the creator of the iPhone. People know the creator of other things. People know the creator of Ford vehicles, Henry Ford. But we don't know the creator of our lives, the creator of the universe, God. The Bible's clear. Colossians 1:16 also talks about there is nothing that was made that wasn't made by him. All things were made by him. So we have a world that's enjoying the fruits of life, but give no credit to the one that provides it, because they have no knowledge of it. They think it's them. Yeah, I'm a self-made man. I got my Cadillac, got my house on the lake, I got my boat, and I got this, and I got my bling bling, and I got this, and I got this job, and I got my gold tooth right there in the middle. Man, I'm the man. God, guess what? Your gold tooth, guess who made the gold? Just saying. You go to Logan, eat that big old 16-ounce ribeye? Oh, that ribeye's good. Guess who made the cow? I mean, we could track everything back to God. Boy, I love that, you know, McDonald's sweet tea. Who made the water? I mean, who made the sugar? I mean, everything goes back to God. Yet we have a world going through the motions, experiencing joys of life and beauty of life, success of life, but tuning out that behind all the things they're enjoying, there's a creator. And that creator is him. I'm glad I know the creator. Verse 11. He came into his own received him not. Of course, he's talking about the Jewish people here. Verse 12. Oh, I love this. Is the next power verse. Verse 5 and verse 12 are our power verses, just so you know. And I just made that up, power verses, but they're just power verses. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My message is Christ, eternal, and life. Those that believe upon the Lord, he said, shall become the children of God. Now, I want to expound on this verse for a minute, because I was over here today, I just got blessed by just hearing God talk about this to me. If we are the children of God, then we must have his seed. His seed's eternal. Just as I bear the earthly, 1 Corinthians says, so shall I bear the heavenly. If I'm a child of God, I've got his seed. His seed is eternal, which means the seed of Christ in me goes on past sickness, past disease, past poverty, past discouragement, past fear, past loneliness, past anything else, even past natural death. That seed of God, if I believe God's eternal and I'm his child, then I'm eternal. Now, church, that ought to make you shout 3 or 4 times to think about, I'm a child of God. I have his seed. I'm his. I belong to him now. And he's eternal. He doesn't pass away. I won't pass away. He can't die. I can't die. He's forever. I'm forever. Because I'm his. How do we receive this seed of God? It's not a natural birth. We know that's a supernatural birth. It says to those who believe in him. A church, a lot of folks may say that, but they don't really believe in him. They say it on paper, but they don't have relationship to really believe, yes. Yes, Lord, you are the only way. Your seed is the only way. I am eternal. You know, I say it, sometimes I talk to families when they lose a loved one, and one thing that I encourage families with is I say, you know what? Like for Beulah, for example, she's got $2 and a son. And then she has several grandchildren and some great-grandchildren. And I say, Beulah, look at your seed that's still here. Your seed's going to carry on. You're going to be gone, but your seed is going to carry on. And their seed's going to carry on. And their seed's going to carry on. Think about that. In this church, in my own family, there's 4 generations. My grandma, my mom, me, and my children. So there's 4 generations in this church of my family, and other families too have 4 generations. The seed in the natural keeps going on because we're connected by that blood. If I'm in Christ, that same seed goes on forever and ever and ever. And that seed surpasses any obstacle that the world would bring into my life. It surpasses it. So we don't have to worry about what tomorrow brings, because our tomorrow, even if death to our flesh comes, our tomorrow bursts that forever seed going on. We just keep on going. We just keep on living. Because we can't die if Christ is in us. The Bible's clear on that. Verse 13. This tells how we're born. We're not born of blood. There's no human element involved in this new birth. Nor the will of the flesh. There's no human achievement that brings forth this birth. I want you to hear this. It's not, there's no human element to bring it, and there's no human achievement to bring it. It's not the will of man, not the will of blood, but it's the will of God. It's God that calls us. It's God that wills us to receive him. It's God that gives us a desire to call upon his name. This new birth isn't something we can buy or something we can earn. It is by the will and hand of God alone that we are saved and we have this new birth. And this is something that Paul had to continually preach to the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of his time, because they were so caught up in their human achievements. They were so caught up in what they knew about the law and religion and what the Torah said and what the old prophets said. And they placed all of their money on what they knew instead of who they knew. It's about who you know. Y'all know that even in life. It's about who you know. Each one of us in here are one connection from favor, blessings, being a millionaire. One connection. Find the one right person and change your life in the natural. One person. We're each one person away from our lives being changed. It's not human element that's in birth comes. It's not human achievement. It's the will of God. That's why the Bible says no man can come to me unless the Spirit draws him, unless you hear the voice of God. I've had folks say, you know, well, I don't really hear it. Look, I think you're hearing more than you realize. You're not receiving. You're not responding. Because the devil comes immediately in. We talk about the four different grounds, about seed sowing, the good ground, where the burr comes, eats the seed before it's planted, and all that, the four grounds. Many times the Word of God is calling. It is coming. But we let the devil steal it away from us before it gets planted. We let doubt set in. We let fear set in so we don't get it all. If we would hear the voice of God and receive it with open arms, Lord, you're calling me. What an honor. God, you passed my way. You moved upon my heart. You didn't have to do that, but you did. God, you stirred me inside. Most of us remember the year or where we were when God really changed us. We remember that. It's a very special time. I remember mine very vividly. Look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. God was made flesh in the body of Christ. Christ was the vehicle, the body. And I think about many times, turn that air up, baby. I know everybody's cold. Turn that air up a little bit. I know it's cold in here. I'm sorry. The weather's weird. It was hot and now it's cold and now it's dark. And sorry. Odd. I think about those old disciples, those apostles that got to walk with Jesus. I mean, they got to see the face of God. They got to touch the face of God. They were in the presence of God. I mean, when they were there and Lazarus raised from the dead, they saw God in action. When he healed the lepers, they saw God in action. When he raised the dead daughter up, they saw God. Every miracle, every work, every teaching on the boat in the storm, they were on the boat with God. I mean, if I'd had that on my boat, I'd have been fine. If I'd had that. Somebody walk up to me and say, don't fear, my son. Don't you have any faith in me? I am God, and we're going to cross the other side. Don't worry. I mean, they saw God. Mary was carrying God in her womb. I mean, think about that. Mary, this young, innocent daughter, this handmaiden, was carrying the deliverer, the Messiah, in her womb. Carrying God, and then had to see her son tortured and crucified. But you know what? This same Jesus was also his own mother's savior and deliverer, because Mary had to come the same way anyone else came, through the cross. Imagine the mix of emotions she must have had carrying this special gift, knowing his destiny, seeing him tortured and crucified, and then seeing him risen, and then being able to call him her Lord. Not longer her son, her Lord. He's my Lord. What a beautiful thing. See, Christ came also in the form. Christ came in the womb of Mary by the will of God, not by human element, not by human achievement, but by the hand of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Go back to that one, 14. I'm sorry. It was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. That terminology, grace for grace, means grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. In other words, our Christian life is a continual walk of grace and blessing upon grace and upon blessing. That's what Jesus came to do. I said many times that grace is not a one-time deal for us. That grace is a continuation for us. Yes, he died once, but his grace extends forever. One death, one resurrection, but forevermore grace. That covers us when we're bad, covers up when we stumble, covers when we mess up. That grace continually flows from grace to grace, from blessing to blessing, is what Jesus provided for us. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. And it says we received all of them. Of his fullness, we've all received. In other words, what he offered is enough. I don't need anything else. I fully received all he has for me. All that he's done for me, I have it inside. We don't always, I say many times that we don't always walk in the Spirit. We don't activate what God's given us, but it's there. Where folks say, well, I don't feel like I used to. I don't walk in that anointing like I used to. It's because we don't activate it. It's there. God's not left us. His anointing's not left us. His grace has not left us. We don't walk in those things. We choose not to depend upon those as much as we used to, or we get away from them, but it's still very alive. It's kind of like how something may be dormant in your body and then it awakens. Sometimes that's how our spiritual life is. It's kind of laying dormant. It's there, and we got to awaken it again and walk in it and remind ourselves who we are. I'm the seed of God. I'm his child. I mean, if you've ever raised kids, your kids have no problem asking you for anything. Is Peyton bashful to ask you to buy him something? Is he bashful about that at all? Yeah, right. Yeah. Sauce, you're not bashful, are you? Asking for something you want. Hey, can you get this for me, or I kind of need it? Or you might be a little, I don't know, you're a little older. You might be a little more responsible. Understand the finances. Kids ain't got a problem asking for something. Melanie was Walmart, she said, with Ashley the day, shopping, and Ashley starts to get off the shelf and put in a buggy. Just shopping for herself. She's like, excuse me? What are you doing? You didn't ask, though. That's the point. You just start throwing a buggy. You need to go Gaga and Pawpaw. That's their thing, her grandparents. Y'all need to take her to Walmart, not us. But kids have no problem asking for something. You know why? Because you're their mom, you're their dad. They'll do it. Mama do it. Dad will do it. But we don't ask God. We so don't walk in the fullness of what he has to offer us. I'm not talking about just the blessing. I'm talking about just, you know, whatever it is, peace, joy, strength, direction, understanding. He's got it all. God's got everything we need. I love Proverbs 3. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But how many times do we do that? Acknowledge God. Lord, I'm coming to you. Now you direct my paths. He's got that force if we'll go to him and we'll listen to him. All of him we received. Last verse. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Christ, eternal life. They can't be separated. Because of Christ and him being eternal, we have life, which is eternal. They all go together. We can't separate it. We have a lot going on in our world. We have a lot of challenges. There are people going through so many things. And as a pastor, I hear it and see it and get calls and get texts. And I all the time talking to folks. Things are going through. Problems are battling. But we have to realize we have a Savior who knows our battles, who knows our problems, that will give us the strength we need day by day, the grace we need day by day. Because, see, I'm going to need new grace tomorrow. You know what I'm saying, D? I'm going to need new grace tomorrow. Today was great, God. Thanks for your grace. But you know what? I'm going to need probably some more grace and a different grace tomorrow, because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring in my life. So I need that grace. I need that grace the next day, because God, I don't know what it's going to bring. I need that grace. You know, I think my kids are, you know, rowdy now, Maverick. God, I'm going to need it when they're about 12 or 13. I'm going to need some more grace. When they're 16, 17, I'm going to need some really super grace. When they're 18 or 19, God, get them out of house. Kind of grace. So you just you graduate from grace to grace to grace. And God has it. I'm so thankful for that, that he has that grace, that he's never out of it. He's never out of it. You go to the store, they're out of your favorite product, right? You're out. The Twinkies are out again. You know I like the Twinkies. Why is the Twinkies out? Had a guy the other day, wanted the Krispy Kreme raspberry donuts. We was out of them, the raspberry field. Out of them. Sorry. It's 2 weeks y'all been out of raspberry. Well, I'm sorry. Go to God. He ain't out of them. I didn't tell him that. But I'm saying, God ain't out of nothing. God's got what you need. Trust him. Christ, eternal life. With all that's happening. And one thing we're going to do Sunday, Melinda brought up a little bit tonight, is I want to do a corporate church prayer Sunday for Tuesday's outcome. I want to pray that God's, which we know it is, but that God's hand is in this, and that we give him the power and authority. It's in his hands, and we trust him. And we want to pray that the right thing happens with our country, with the leadership, and that God governs our nation the next 4 years and guides it, and we're going to make him Lord and King over it all. I want to pray that Sunday because I know it's a very volatile time. It's a very volatile season right now, and we don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know God holds it, and that's all that matters to me. God holds it. I know we have our opinions, and we're and church, I tell you, there's so many things that are broken and wrong, and I get it. There are so many things that are broken and wrong. But God's not broken, and God's not wrong. And we have to trust his word. Like never before, we've got to trust him with our families, with our nation, with our future. You know, my three children did not grow up in the same, I know no generation does, but, you know, my three children didn't see the same things that even me and Melanie saw growing up. Definitely not what my parents saw. And they had, you know, good times, of course, and good parts of their generation, but I worry in the natural about the future of what my children will have to grow up in. What was sin to us 30 years ago is complete normalcy now. What was bad back then is totally acceptable now. What used to be called immoral back then is now called equal rights or equalism or whatever you want to call it or humanitarianism or whatever word they want to try to dose it up with instead of just calling it like it is. I mean, I think it's a shame that we have come to a point, church, where we have schools teaching children about two mommies and two daddies. Schools across the country are teaching this to elementary kids because that is the norm for some parts of our country and some families. And it's unbelievable. It's come to this. So we better trust God. You know, Abraham had a prayer for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, remember? Lord, if it be, you know, started out 50 righteous, got down to, Lord, if it be 10 righteous. And he had such a cry from his heart of God, save this nation. We need to do that again. Lord, you save this nation. I mean, church, we can't fall. I don't care which side of the aisle it's on. We can't fall in love with the cliche line thinking that that's going to change our lives. I mean, we can't vote for someone because they're this or because they're that. We need to say, God, speak to my heart. Let me exercise the rights you've given me. But God, I want to hear from you of what I am to do. Because we know there's corruption all through our government. There's corruption and there's crookedness. But the righteous will prevail. Church, the righteous will rise and prevail. So trust that. Marge, come on up here and play a little close-out song for us, if you would. I mean, I still feel so young, but I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I really think, and I'm kind of in the middle right now, but I think I would rather be, I don't know if I want to say that or not, I would almost rather be my grandma's age right now than I would Maverick's age right now. Because of how things are. And having to face and go through all the stuff that's yet to come. And I know if I've heard some of you older folks say that. You know, I'm glad I'm the age I'm at, boy. I'm glad I'm where I'm at. I'm glad. Because I know I'll be seeing Jesus. You know, sooner than later. I'll be seeing Jesus. Father, we just thank you for this word tonight. We thank you that you are full of grace and truth. That seed of God, we are the children of God. You said for those of us that would receive you, receive what you offer. Believe in your name, that we would have the right, the power to become the sons of God. That means we're your children, Lord. And that seed of you goes on forever. It goes beyond every election. It goes beyond every economic downturn. It goes beyond every physical diagnosis. It goes beyond every mental or emotional disturbance. It goes beyond every family crisis. This seed cannot be extinguished by the circumstances of life. This seed cannot be destroyed by the challenges and battles of this life. This seed will be at the end standing tall. This seed will produce. This seed will manifest. This seed you have planted in us, it will grow to the point of full maturity, to where we will see our reward. We will see our crown. We will see the fruition and the completeness and the finalization of what you began in us. And all the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. It will not stop it. We are your people, God, first. We are Christians first, Americans second. We are Christians first, fathers and mothers second. We are Christians first, sons and daughters second. We are Christians first, husbands and wives second. But God, we are Christians first. We are your seed first. You are our first and the most important love of all time. And we will cross the muddy rivers of Jordan into that celestial shore called your kingdom. We will arise from the ashes of destruction, and we will take on a beauty that far surpasses anything our eyes have seen or our ears have heard. It is a done deal. It's been sealed by the handwriting of the cross, and nothing can ever change or reverse what you have done. The cross cannot be repealed by any man or any order or any law. You are God forevermore, and we are your children. And we thank you that we are going to rise through all the storms and take our stand by the throne of God, singing your praises forevermore. We give you praise and thanks, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.